The Scoundrel. Chapter 7. Nothing like a severed limb flying through the air to break up a perfectly good day in a cantina.
No blasters!
The barkeep called, panicked.
No blasters!
Thank the stars, Han thought. Otherwise, no one would walk out of there alive. For a single heartbeat, the thick herbal smoke that layered the air seemed to part. The band's cheerful music cut out. The shouts in basic and what had to be every other language in the galaxy faded to a whimper. For the first time in Chalmers Cantina's long history of hosting the rowdiest pirates Mos Eisley had to offer, there was absolute silence. Then, everyone went back to their business, and the pulse of life returned. The band, Figrin Dian and the Modal Nodes, a group of Bith with dome-shaped heads and black, glassy insect eyes, started bopping away on their instruments again. Han could have sworn the severed arm, not to mention the creature's remaining stump, was still sizzling when the old fossil calmly switched his blue laser sword off. Han leaned around the girl in his lap, trying to see what had sparked the fight in the first place. A younger human, a blonde teenager, was hauled up from the floor looking dazed, then disappeared into one of the cantina's dark pockets. Han had taken up a corner booth back in the shadows, waiting for the right job to lure him out. And, well, okay, it had the added bonus of keeping him out of sight of the people hunting his skin. But clearly, Han should have been more worried about the human girl training her sights on him than he was about Jabba the Hutt.
Han,
the girl in his lap began, voice high and breathy. She slid her fingers into his hair and forced him to look at her.
You were gone for so long.
She was beautiful and charming, that was for sure. Jewel-toned eyes, long, pale hair. An outfit Han was sure would result in some interesting tan lines when she stepped outside. And hey, he was never going to shoot down the attentions of a, lady. Well, sorry, he cut himself off when he saw the way her brows pulled together. Right. Sarla was the girl in Sereno Spaceport. Helene was the Twi'lek barkeep at Kala'oon who had a thing for captains. Which meant this girl was... blank. Mos Eisley's spaceport girl? He shot her a charming, lopsided smile and stroked a knuckle down her cheek.
You know how it is.
The jobs I get take me to every corner of the galaxy. Sometimes it's just too dangerous to show my face around the usual haunts. A guy like me... He dropped his voice to a dramatic whisper. He just has to keep moving. The girl sighed.
Everyone's been talking about that spice cargo you had to dump. One of the freighter pilots said Jabba put a price on your head the size of this planet.
Han scowled.
This dust ball isn't that big.
She continued, ignoring him, her fingers moving to fiddle with the collar of his shirt.
You must have come back for a reason. A good one?
Not a blonde one, he thought, reaching for his drink. Half paying attention to what the girl was saying, he scanned the cantina, searching for the kid and the old man, and found them. Of course, right next to Chewie. Leave it to the Wookiee to cozy right up to them, chatting them up like he hadn't just seen someone else get his fur singed. People only came into this particular cantina if they were looking to book a ship's services and weren't inclined to tell the Imperials about what they were transporting. Han's specialty.
But really, he thought, what job was going to be worth letting a lunatic with a sword anywhere near his Falcon?
They'd already had to turn down two measly jobs hauling goods off planet. The pay was bad, and the cargo was hot, literally steaming. Han might have taken a blow to his rep recently, but he had some professional pride left, thank you very much. One guy had wanted him to haul bantha dung into space to fertilize some other wasteland. No thank you very much. Chewbacca cut a path toward Han's booth.
If the almost 2.5 meter tall frame of shaggy brown hair didn't clear the way, the teeth and claws that completed the package did. Very few people knew Chewie had a mushy heart under that warrior's exterior. The Wookiee looked at the girl in Han's lap, then at his friend, waiting. Han shrugged. What could he do? Some folks were just born irresistible. But hey, this was the opportunity he'd been waiting for. Meet Chewbacca, my co-pilot. Chewie, meet... Han let his voice trail off, hoping she'd jump in and introduce herself. Instead, she pulled her head back, the way a serpent did right before it struck.
Alia?
He guessed. Chewie groaned. The girl merely stood up, picked up Han's drink, and threw the remainder in his face.
It's Jenny,
she said, as she tossed her hair over her shoulder and stormed off.
Oh yeah, Jenny from Mos Espa.
His co-pilot snickered as Han used his black vest to wipe his face off. The truth was, he did feel bad about his memory slip. Not that he would show it.
Laugh it up, buddy.
Seeing Chewie's look, Han added,
Hey, you're the married one. Find me a human girl with Mala's brains and silky hair, and maybe I'll consider it.
If a Wookiee could blush, Chewbacca would have been pink all over. He growled out a question. Han sighed.
Yeah, I saw you with that old relic. Do I need to remind you he doesn't seem to like letting people keep their limbs?
Chewie rumbled out a sharp response.
Yeah, hard to miss the sword, pal. Of course I know what a lightsaber is. I wonder what antique trash heap he found it in.
The lightsaber was the chosen weapon of the Jedi Order, who served as peacekeepers in the Old Republic, pre-Emperor Palpatine's takeover.
There was some religious mumbo-jumbo about meditation and something called the Force.
Great big wad of nonsense, if you asked Han. Their kind had been extinct so long they were practically ancient history.
What's the job?
He asked. Chewie barked a response, and Han's eyes found the blonde kid again. The teen was fidgeting, looking around uncomfortably near the bar. Every now and then, he straightened his simple pale tunic. His hands were shaking so badly, Han was surprised the little guppy didn't spill his drink.
Passage?
Han repeated, turning back toward Chewie.
To the Alderaan system?
That was it. Usually, when people wanted to hire a smuggler ship, it was to disappear into restricted territory, or one of the shadier hubs, in the hopes of getting lost forever. The Wookiee nodded.
Think it'll pay well?
Okay, he had standards, but he also needed to pay back one of the galaxy's biggest crime lords. He could be flexible with his standards. Chewie thumped the table as he snarled a response, going on and on about its being easy money. Finally, Han sighed and said,
Fine, bring him over.
Han took a moment to straighten his vest and lean back in the booth, eyes scanning the cantina one last time for trouble. Chewie ushered the old man and the kid into seats across the table from him.
Han Solo, I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
I'm Ben. This is Luke, the old man said, gesturing to the teenager. His calm presence was at complete odds with the kid's barely contained energy. Luke there looked like he was about to jump out of his skin. He was so eager to get going.
And yes, indeed, if it's a fast ship.
Han scoffed.
Fast ship? You never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Ben raised a white eyebrow.
Should I have?
It's the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
The kid, like most people who heard the tale, looked impressed. The old man was not, however, most people.
Anyway,
Han said, before he could be called out on his lie. The Falcon was fast, and that was all that mattered. 0.5 past light speed was nothing to sniff at.
I've outrun Imperial starships,
Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Corellian ships now.
She's fast enough for you, old man. What's the cargo?
Ben gave a thoughtful hum before answering.
Only passengers. Myself, the boy, two droids, and no questions asked.
Suddenly, Han had a bad feeling about this job.
What is it? Some kind of local trouble?
Let's just say we'd like to avoid any Imperial entanglements.
Well, Han said, leaning forward. Oh, this was going to be easy.
That's the real trick, isn't it?
And it's going to cost you something extra. 10,000, all in advance.
For the first time, the kid, Luke, spoke.
10,000? We could almost buy our own ship for that.
Yeah, but who's going to fly it, kid? You?
He looked like he wouldn't be able to figure out how to retract the landing gear. Never mind make a jump to hyperspace.
You bet I could. I'm not such a bad pilot myself.
Luke turned toward Ben and started to stand, anger flaring hot and fast across his face.
We don't have to sit here and listen to...
The old man waved his hand, and the kid settled back into his seat.
We haven't that much with us, but we could pay you 2,000 now, plus 15 when we reach Alderaan.
17?
Han wondered if he needed to clean his ears.
Okay, you guys got yourself a ship. We'll leave as soon as you're ready. Docking Bay 94.
94,
Ben repeated, nodding. Luke looked unhappy at the arrangement, but managed to hold his tongue this time. Behind them, a flash of white caught Han's eye. Four uniformed stormtroopers were making their way up to the bar, attracting looks of scorn from the other patrons.
Looks like someone's beginning to take an interest in your handiwork.
Han tilted his head in the bar's direction. His new passengers turned to look, the kid about jumping out of his skin as the barkeep pointed toward them. It was left to Ben to drag the kid off into the shadows, pulling him toward the back entrance. By the time the stormtroopers looked again, they were gone. Han spun toward Chewie, gripping the silver bandolier across the Wookiee's chest.
17,000? Those guys must be really desperate. Get back to the ship and get her ready.
The Wookiee slid out of the booth as Han signaled to the barkeep to close out his tab. Han fought the urge to sag in his seat in relief. The reasonable part of him knew it would only be a matter of time before he found a job to cover the cost of Jabba's lost cargo. But another part of him was starting to lose hope he'd get the credits in hand before a legit bounty hunter found him. It had been plain bad luck that an Imperial customs ship had crossed their path as they were preparing to leave Kessel with the illegal shipment. And now it was dumb luck that he could cover his rear. Han stood, stretching out a kink in his neck. He took one step forward, right into something hard, cold. Something that felt suspiciously like the business end of a blaster. Then he heard in Huttese,
"Going somewhere, Solo?"